Mountain climbers expect challenges. They're equipped for it. They have people they know they can depend on and call on, and they have equipment. They have knowledge. Hallelujah. They know the word. And they don't give up just because it gets hard. So if you're ready to give up on something today that you know you're supposed to be doing, and the more you obey, the harder it gets, I want to encourage you today, do not give up. You saw today, didn't you? You got from yesterday to today. You can get from today to tomorrow. One step at a time, one moment at a time. Don't give up. That's what Satan wants. Do not give up. Do not give up. Do not give up. You're going to have your triumphant day. And the steeper that mountain is and the higher it is, the more triumphant you'll be when you get to the top. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Don't give up. You're going to have to encourage yourself by recognizing God's hand in your life. This is what the testimony break helps you to do. It helps you to think back and say, you know what? God did do that. You know, he did come through. We might sweep it under the rug. We might see it as a matter of routine. We might not acknowledge it, but it forces us to stop and see the small, medium-sized, and the large miracles that he does in our lives. It forces us. It gives us an opportunity to brag on God. You ever have your kids, you know, they do something great, they're high school and, or football or school, you know, in school, their grades or whatever it is, or their careers or whatever it is, and you can't wait for people to bring up kids so you can brag? Or you can't wait for an opportunity to whip out your pictures of your grandchild? Well, we can have that testimony, amen? Amen. By recognizing what God has done in our lives. In order to do this, in order to recognize all the things that God's done in your lives, and to look and truly recognize it, you've got to not put God in a box. God will solve your problem, but you can't put him in a box. I want you to go away today with two key thoughts. Are you ready for those? Two key thoughts. The first one, I want you to know that God has more ways to solve your problem than you can imagine. I want you to think about a problem that you have. I want you to think about a challenging time along this mountain climbing that you're doing. I want you to think about something that, man, I really need this problem solved. Boy, this is really difficult. I just want you to know that the reason why we fret over those things is because we think of all the ways it could be solved and it seems unsolvable. God, I want you to think about the times that God has blessed you. I want you to think about the things that he's brought you through. And I want you to think about how he did it. Almost always he did it in a way you didn't expect. He is an awesomely unpredictable God. He blessed you in a way that you would not expect. I know that Jason was hopeful that he tracked down LaQuisha, but she did not expect this miracle to happen. And she sure didn't expect this one to happen as quickly as it did. Hallelujah. 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 God can solve your problem way more ways. He's got a zillion ways to solve it. Not just can he, but he's got, we get, oh, let me see if you could do this. There doesn't seem to be a way, right? Well, he's got so many ways. So you should just get excited about how is God, it's like a box of chocolates. How's he going to solve it? If God wants me to get that job at Kaiser Permanente, let me just tell you, all they're going to be doing is in that room doing his work. And all the things along the way, he's shown me so many miracles. I'm like, Lord, wow, if you're trying to give me that, I see one of the ways you could be trying to do it. Wow, I didn't see that coming. That is amazing. That big old hunging mountain that I know I saw there, and people said, ooh, man, I don't know, that's a tough one against you. Amazing how he works. Whatever way you think he's going to do it, that's not it. That's one thing I can tell you. That will not be it. He is an amazingly awesome, unpredictable God. Now, he's predictable in that he's going to love you. He's going to always want to be there for you. Hallelujah. 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 You got heaven as your home if you give your heart and your life to him. All that's predictable. But what's not predictable is how he's going to solve your problem, how he's going to get you past that tough spot in the mountain that you are climbing. You just need to know, you need to be encouraged that when you run out of possibilities, he's just getting started. You need to know that on your way up that mountain. You need to leave here today knowing that whatever problem you need solving, God has way more solutions than you can imagine. The second thought I want you to leave here with, and you won't have the meat to it until we get to it, but you also have a secret weapon. If you are a serious Christian, if you are a shown up follower or walker with God, you have a secret weapon. And I'm going to tell you about it today. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we mountain climbers today? Are we mountain climbers today? Are we mountain climbers today? Well, guess what? If you're a mountain climber, your life is empty unless you got mountains. Hallelujah. It'd be boring if you had no mountains. Thank God for the mountains. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to our text. What book do you think it's in? The book of Acts. There's so much there. Look, I didn't plan it, but we're still in it. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 5. Turn there. Shouldn't take you long because you probably got it marked from last week. We see Peter and John, the same two who helped, work that miracle. God worked a miracle through them and healed that man that was lame for 40 years, but they've been arrested. It's like catch and release, catch and release. They've been arrested and released. Why were they released? Because of the miracle of the people who were moved by the miracle of the lame man and all those testimonies, and they weren't about to let them mess with these guys that God is doing so much through and for them. Amen? So they saw, you can see the hand of God there. We see the hand of God, obviously, in the original miracle. But now we see the hand of God. And oh, my God, these big, powerful people, they're mad at us. They don't like what we're doing. And now we're getting released. Why? Because they're afraid of the people. Now, did they know that when they started their day? They didn't know they were going to heal the man. They certainly didn't know the people would react that way. They absolutely didn't know they were going to have an opportunity to then deliver the word to open minds and hearts. And they definitely didn't know that these people would be their advocates when the court was up against them, when the leaders were up against them. They had no idea. That was the hand of God. People that weren't with you this morning in the afternoon are now with you. That is the hand of God. You need to be able to see that. The next time, all the apostles were arrested. And this time, they're put into serious prison. Not they were put into the common prison, the hardcore prison. But what happened? This time, they went back, okay, let's go get those guys so we can interrogate them and rough them up a bit. And they weren't there. Because the angel came and delivered them, and they were over in the temple teaching and preaching, and they're looking for them. Everything is still locked up. The guards are still standing out there all proud and confident. No apostles. Now, we see that as a miracle, right? That's easy to see as a miracle. It's easy to see the hand of God there. And notice, he didn't just get them out. He says, now, go do that thing that they keep telling you not to do. Go do that thing that keeps getting you into trouble. Go do that thing that is part of your, that is the center of your purpose, even though doing what you're supposed to do seems to bring you nothing but grief. The more you commit, the more difficult it gets. But they found out that they were there at the temple, and they went and arrested them a third time. Somebody say, the third time is a charm. Well, I think in their experience, they wish it was a charm. Three strikes and you're out. They were in trouble now. This is the third time, and let me just tell you, their captors, those who arrested them, had deadly intentions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You will have haters in your walk if you're a mountain climber, if you're serious for God. You will have those who aren't just jealous in terms of hateration, but they actually hate you. You're actually going to have real enemies in this walk. Amen? Amen? They don't like the way you do it. They don't like the credit you get. They don't like, whatever it is. You're going to have people that are not for you. Do you know that? Amen. You're going to have folks that are not rooting for you. Amen. We need to understand this. So they've been arrested for the third time. We are in Acts chapter 5, right? We're going to go over to verse 20, 7. They've just been arrested. And it says in 26, then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence. And the reason they say this in the word is because they wanted to rough them up. They're mad. They're angry. They're really frustrated. They want to really jack them up without violence. So this doesn't mean they just went, you know, peacefully. No, it means that when they took them in, you know how when the cops have a high-speed chase and they're chasing somebody and they're chasing somebody and they're chasing somebody and they finally get them and the camera's not on them, what do? Mm-hmm. They let out a little frustration, don't they? Sometimes they do it when the camera's on them. Amen? Amen. They let out a little frustration. They show a little bit of their humanity. Well, this is the same kind of situation. Imagine a high-speed chase, but imagine they chased him down and got him and let him go because of the people, and they chased him down and got him, and now they don't even know what the escape plan is, but they escaped. Now they tracked them down again. So imagine those cops. That's what this was like. They're in trouble now. Do you see that? So they set them, without violence, for they feared the people. That's the only reason why they didn't rough them up, because of the people. Do you see the hand of God? Lest they should be stoned. So here are the leaders, and they were worried that the people would stone them because of these men. Verse 27 and 28 says, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them this, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? I mean, were we not clear? We told you 2 times now, don't preach in this name. Don't talk about this resurrection stuff. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, your teachings, the very thing we told you not to do. You didn't just do it. You didn't just do it in private and secret over in a corner. You filled this whole place with that crazy stuff you teach. And intend to bring this man's blood upon us. So not only did you do what you weren't supposed to do, but you're going to go around sullying our name, trying to make us guilty about this man that you keep preaching about that we don't see because he's gone. Somehow or another, you think that's okay, but we have another answer for you today. You got another thing coming, buddy. Now, what do you think would happen? What if that was us and somebody that's been 3 times, now you're in real trouble. Now they have deadly intentions and they're telling you, we don't like what you have done. Well, let me just tell you, Peter and the apostles were mountain climbers. They were committed to what they had to do. And in their minds, oh, I have an audience. Oh, I'm in trouble. No, they're like, all right, I have an audience. You brought up the subject. Don't be mad at me. You brought it up. Let me tell you about that Jesus you're talking about. This is an opportunity to tell some more truth. Do you know when you tell truth, people don't like you? They don't like it. Especially if it shows them an area that they should be correcting in. Do you know people don't like correction? Do you know they don't like to be brought to have to face the things that they should improve on? Do you know people don't like to be reminded of the wrong that they've done? Even if that's the beginning of their new opportunity in life. So they said, you know what? We don't like you. We're telling you why we don't like you. Amen. So Peter in verses 29 through about 32, he sees this as an opportunity that, all right, sounds like you need a message. Sounds like you want to be preached to. So then Peter and the other apostles, by the way, it's not just Peter, answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Hallelujah. We ought to obey God rather than man. And he says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus. Now notice this, they said our father. So they're talking to Jews. So they're trying to tell you, it's the God of our fathers. Do you believe in the God of our fathers? Do you believe in Yahweh, Jehovah? Okay, we're on the same page now. Now let me tell you, that God raised up Jesus. Now are they in more trouble or less at this point? The God of our fathers, okay, you got my attention. Wait a minute. The God that I know wouldn't raise up Jesus because I'm a Sadducee. Wouldn't raise up anybody. I don't believe in that. Didn't I tell you not to talk in that name? And didn't I tell you not to talk about this raising up stuff? Now you up in my face and telling me that the God of our fathers that we believe, that we are the representatives of, not you, that he raised up this man that you follow. So now are they in trouble? They're even in more trouble. Now they're right in their faces. Now you're asking for more trouble. Raised up Jesus, whom ye slew. Now, are they in less trouble or more trouble? Now we go through it right in your face. So he raised up Jesus. Now they're talking to Sadducees. They don't like that. Now, whom ye slew. So now, not only is there just a reputation, I know you heard that we've been putting his blood on your hands. I'm telling you face to face, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Yes, it is right. I am putting his blood on your hands. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Now, does that sound like a good story? That sounds like a great story. That, I mean, he's giving you repentance, you know, forgiveness of sins. Now, if you recognize you're sinful, then you're happy, right? But if you think you got it going on, then you're not happy. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. So if they weren't in trouble before, now their big old mouths have gotten them really into trouble. So it's no surprise that when we look at verse 33, that we get what we get. Read verse 33 for me. All right, so now, I told you they had deadly intentions. And so now these guys are going to come up in their face and they're going to say exactly what they heard they were saying. You're going to put your blood on their hands. And yes, we're talking about resurrection. And right in your faces. And so now they're saying, okay, we got to figure out, we're going to kill these dudes. Okay, so now that's you. What are you going to do? How are you going to respond? You're probably going to get on your knees. I hope you will. And ask for help. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that that happened, but they are right now at a point. There are three strikers, okay? Three strikes and you're out. They are in trouble, and now these guys are ready to kill you, ready to kill me. So what do you need now? You need a miracle. You need a miracle. Now, they've seen the hand of God when the people saved them. They've seen the hand of God when the angel saved them. What we're doing is, when are we going to learn how God is like a box of chocolates? He's going to come up with a solution you would never have thought. They would never have thought that some angel was going to take them out of the prison. They would never have thought that those people were going to be their best advocates. And they would never, ever, ever, ever have thought that the miracle that they're about to see would have occurred. And I want you to think about these things and apply it to your life. Because what's going to happen is you're going to see more possibilities than you used to see. And you're going to just know that God's list of possible ways to solve your problem are bigger than the ways you can worry about it. Hallelujah. 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 So we see here in verses 34 and 35, they're in trouble. They're now talking about how are we going to kill these guys. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel. Now, when I see this word now, I actually get thrown off because I think about that Celia, that thing that Pastor Trina and I have been binge watching, or we used to, and it has somebody named Gamaliel in it, and they called him Gammy. And so that's the name I think about. But what do you think about when you see this name? Bible studiers, I can't hear you. Gamaliel, how do we know about him? Gamaliel was the most well-known teacher in all of Israel. He was the baddest of the baddest. He was the professor's professor of the law. Gamaliel is the one that taught Paul the apostle when he was Saul, When he says, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees, he was taught by the master. So he knew his stuff. He knew he was right when he was killing those Christians. He absolutely knew. He was taught by the best. So Gamaliel is the most influential person, separate from position. This is by reputation. He is the man, the wisest, the best teacher. He's not the high priest, but he is somebody that when he speaks, he's E.F. Hutton. Now that's somebody you don't expect to be speaking up for you when you are in the wrong, according to the high priest. But of all these people, they're in trouble. Here's what happens. Gamaliel, a doctor of the law. Now, it's really, he's the doctor of the law. Had in reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles a little space. In other words, you know what? Hey, guys. Hey, how are we going to kill these guys? Gamaliel stands up. Hey, guys, can we put the apostles in another spot, these guys in another spot? We need to talk for a little bit. Okay, great, great, great. Maybe he's going to give us the best way to kill them. Gamaliel says, put them forth a little space. Let's talk. In verse 35, he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. Take heed to yourselves. I want you to think about what you're about to do. And he goes on in the next few verses and he says, let me give you a couple of examples. Remember this guy named Theudas? Remember him? He had all those people following him. I think there was about 400 of them, and we were worried about them. What happened? He ended up getting killed and all his people scattered. So we don't have to worry. And this other guy named Judas of Galilee, the one from up north. Remember those people followed him and we were all worried about him? Well, what happened? He ended up dying and all the people scattered. He said, you know what? Look, we don't have to kill these guys. We don't have to worry about these guys. The truth is, if it's really of man and we think it is, it's going to come to nothing. Don't fret. Don't start an uproar. Don't go killing these guys. There's a better way. Guess what? We don't have to worry, because if it's of man, it's going to come to nothing. But more so, if it's of God, because we've seen some miracles. Now, you know, we didn't let him out of that prison. You know that man that's been lame for 40 years was really lame for 40 years. So we might be messing with a little something. You might be fighting against God. And if it is a God thing, you know you can't overthrow it, and you're going against God. So you might just, could you just think about it for a minute? Because you might not know who we're dealing with, because you might not have realized the hand of God. Remember, okay, the 40-year-old guy, okay, think about it now. Okay, they got out of prison when they shouldn't. They got all these people. There might be some God in this. You got to get used to seeing the hand of God. What is he telling them? He's saying, hey, guys, we might be missing the hand of God. Now, this is not what you would expect. And if you're dealing with a difficult situation, you might just have an advocate you didn't expect. There may be somebody among the crowd that is planning to do something not in your favor, that speaks up that you do not expect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, if it's of God, then you're going to be down in the record as fighting against God. So let's be clear. What has he said? He says, leave them alone. He says, let them go. He said, if it's of man, then it's coming to nothing, right? And he said, if it's of God, not only can you not stop it, but you might be fighting against God. Now, that's not cool, right? Now, look at verse 40. It says, and to him they what? Agreed. Okay, so they agreed. So what did they agree to? They agreed to leave him alone. They agreed to let him go. They agreed that if it's of man, it should come to naught. And they agreed that, you know, if it's God, then you can't stop it and you might be fighting against God. So they've agreed to all these things. Now it goes on to say, despite their agreement, despite the fact that they might very well be fighting against God, we see something that reminds us that your enemies are not going to go quietly into the night. Just because God's going to bless you in the midst of your enemies, he will bless you in spite of your enemies. Understand they're still your enemies. You're going to have those. So when you don't, when your enemies don't change, well, God doesn't change the heart of your enemy, that doesn't mean that God's still not in the midst. Realize he changed one man's heart and he happened to speak up. That's why they're still breathing. But in this situation, understand that while they agree with everything Gamaliel said, it says, and when they had called the apostles, all right, come on back in here. We've talked about you now. We know what we're going to do. It says what? What did they do? And beaten them. They commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and then they let them go. So they let them go. They left with their lives, but what happened in the meantime? Did they not agree that they would leave them alone? Did they not agree they would let them go? Did they not agree that if it was a man, it would come to nothing? And did they not agree that if it was for God, if it was a God thing, they couldn't stop it and they might be fighting against God? So if you might be fighting against God, now you're going to go and beat these guys? They're not even afraid enough that it could be God. Now, understand what they mean by beat. They didn't just beat them up. They actually flogged them publicly, flogged them. The better word is they flayed them. Where are my culinary folks, my cooks? When you flay something, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. When you not fillet, flay, F-L-A-Y. It means when you take the skin off. When you flay something, in other words, they beat them to the point, it couldn't just be outward. The skin had to be opened. This is what they did. So these guys are in trouble for the third time. They're in really big trouble. They've opened their mouths. They've had this man speak up for them, thank God. So their lives are spared because they were going to be killed. They agreed to let him go. They said, hey, this might be God we're fighting against. But they actually beat them. To the point to where, you know, if you've seen slave movies, that's what they beat them like. All because they did what? Told the truth. All because they obeyed God instead of man. Hallelujah. Sometimes man can get a high enough position where he thinks he supersedes God. And these very people said, yeah, we might be fighting against God, but you know what? We're going to beat them anyway. And on top of that, now, didn't we not agree if it's of man, it'll come to nothing? And didn't we not agree that if it's God, that we're fighting against God potentially, right? And we're still going to yell at them and tell them, don't teach in that name anymore. Didn't we just agree that if it's of man, it's going to come to naught? So we're so fired up. We're so angry, like the cops when they've been chasing you down and you feel like you took advantage of them, you made them look bad. They still had to beat them and they still had to threaten them, even though they just agreed that they could be fighting against God. This is what our enemies will be like. And God will still have to bless us, or will bless us in the midst of it. Amen? Amen. So they agreed, but they beat them and they threatened them and they're bleeding. And this is what we have to deal with. Now, this is the beautiful thing. This is the part that we get to. I told you there were two thoughts that I wanted you to have. I wanted you to realize that God has more ways to solve your problems. He got more miracles up his sleeve than problems that you can think of. And I told you that you have a secret weapon if you are fully committed to God. Amen. And that's what verse 41 is all about. Now, they've been beaten. They've left there with their lives, but they've been beaten and they've been threatened. Threatened, I want you to stop doing that thing that you keep doing, which for them is the thing that God told them to do. It says in verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council. Now, that's a good thing, right? They're free. Hallelujah. We can breathe now. We're actually out of their midst. But what's the next word? They left there rejoicing. Now they've done the right thing and they keep getting in trouble. They've done the right thing and now their lives were in jeopardy. They've done the right thing, and somebody's spoken up on their behalf, and so now they should be okay, but yet now they've been beaten and again threatened. What's our response? Rejoice? Really? Would you rejoice at that point? You know that the thing that God's telling you to do, they've just told you not to do, and they've proven that they mean business this time. They've beaten you and beaten you publicly. And the Bible says that these crazy guys left there rejoicing, happy, excited. Were they rejoicing because they left there alive? No, not quite. Were they rejoicing because another miracle has been performed? That's a reason to rejoice. That's a great testimony. But no, in their case, it says they were rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus' name. The most committed people of God are flattered when they have troubles. In this walk, you're going to have temptation. You're going to have tests. You're going to have trials. Instead of being angry, instead of being disappointed, instead of being, you know, beaten down, even though they were beaten up, they're actually excited and happy that they were found worthy. I don't know if you can hear what I'm trying to say. I talk about this from time to time in my own regards in terms of how I see things when it seems like it's so tough. It seems like this job is so difficult. It seems like the journey is so long and so uphill and discouraging potentially. I am happy that God chose me, that he can trust me. Anybody can be okay with a church that fills up in a year or two or three. Anybody would sign up for that. But if you have a work that's going to have a different path, a more challenging situation, I'm grateful that he trusted me for the hard thing. He didn't say, well, you know, this is pretty easy. This don't take that much stick-to-itiveness. It doesn't take that much commitment. It doesn't take that much faith. Yeah, I'm going to call you for that one. That's great that somebody gets to do that. But I'm grateful. I'm excited. I am happy in the midst of the difficulty that he trusts me to the hard thing. And so they're happy. It doesn't make any sense. They don't look their faces, their countenances don't look like what they've been through. They've just been arrested three times. They've just been beaten. They've just been threatened for the third time. And here they are leaving there rejoicing. Now, let me just tell you, the devil don't understand this. Your enemy would not understand this. But God's most committed people are flattered and grateful when they are trusted to do the challenging thing. For people who are truly committed, when you get the toughest assignment, you should be happy. I don't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean you don't have enemies. Doesn't mean you won't have any scars. Doesn't mean that the heels aren't real. Doesn't mean that, you know, you're not going to slip down and fall and have to get back up. It doesn't mean that any of that is, you know, notwithstanding. But if you're really walking with God, you're going to have some tough times and it's going to feel painful. But how are you going to respond? What's your perspective? How do you view it? They could have viewed this in a very negative light, but there's no way they were going to, because they're saying, "Woo, we're rolling with Jesus. He trusts us. We got to be shamed for his name, for doing the right thing. We face difficulty." They had the get to perspective. We got to. They could have said we had to. They could have said, we're forced to. They could have said, we're obligated to. But no, we get to be shamed for his name's sake. We get to be those people that he trusted this special work to during the lean years. We get to be trusted during the tough times. We get to a get-to attitude. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, because my soul's going to look back. Oh, it's going to look back. But I'm going to know those times that were hard. And I'm going to have a testimony from that. And only a few people are going to understand it. But I'm going to know that God trusted me, not just wah, 1,000 people, just because some people think you're a pretty good speaker. No. This is a situation where there are some special people that are called. And they're wandering around in a wilderness looking for something that's right here, but they can't see it. They don't know it's here. They're thirsty for something, and it's right there, but they don't know it's here. They're hungry for something. They're desperate for it. They're sick of this. They're sick of that. They would love to have this basic, straightforward, real, shown-off word that you cannot refute, and single words and mistranslations don't ever get in the way. We will always know the real mind of God. They're looking for this. Desperate for this. Can't find it. It's right there. They can't see it until they do. And when they do, you're going to know. And when they do, you're going to look back and you're going to say, I'm glad I didn't give up. And when they do, you're going to look back and you're going to say, I have a testimony. And when they do, you're going to look back and say, I'm glad I got past those difficult times when I was ready to give up, when I was discouraged. You're going to look back and say, I'm glad that I was found worthy. Worthy to be one of those that God said, that one I can trust. That one is not going to give up when it gets hard. That one expects challenges so they don't wilt and don't expect it to go away. They don't expect me to move all the mountains. They're willing to climb. That one. I'm going to be that one. You're going to be that one. We get to obey God. I get to pastor a church and do crazy stuff like run for the highest position. It makes no sense. And I get to still, despite all of that, still prepare a message. And I get to still go to the nursing home. And I get to still find a way to get to the homeless feeding. And I get to still have my date nights with my wife. And I get to still spend time with my son. I get to do all those things. Amen. So they got to obey Christ. They got to please God. And they got the opportunity to represent the Lord. And we have the same testimony. We're mountain climbers. We don't give up just because it gets hard. We expect difficulty. We know we have enemies. And while he can miraculously change a heart and have somebody speak on our behalf, some folks are never going to do it. And guess what? He going to bless you in the midst and in spite of. And the ways that he can and will do that are beyond what you can imagine. So just get ready for the box of chocolates. You don't know what he's going to do. Just know he's on your side. Just know he's got your back. So I want you to be thinking in those hard times, imagine, man, how's he going to do it? Let me see. It's like if you think your husband's going to surprise you and you don't know what it's going to be. Is it going to be my favorite restaurant? Is he going to do this? Is he going to do that? Oh, my God, I'm so excited. How's God going to do it? I don't know. I don't need to know. I get to have the anticipation. Like when you have a date night. Oh, my God, I'm looking forward to it. What's God going to do? I just know he's going to do it. So we get to obey him. We get to please him. We get to represent him. And Satan don't know what to do with somebody with this kind of attitude. Your earthly enemies, they don't know what to do. People like, I'm serious. They say, oh my God, it's got to be really stressful for you. They say, you don't sound tired at all. Talk to somebody from Georgia the other day. You don't sound tired at all. I'm not. You don't sound, you just seem at peace. You seriously, you just, I am. I'm good. I'm actually fabulous. I am wonderful. I've spent 8-9 months of praying constantly, having God show me what he can do. Show me how in the blink of an eye he can handle that business. He's gotten me through the toughest thing anybody in my company ever gets to do. And I finished that race, and I made him look good. Why shouldn't I have peace? I did my part. And I know that the only thing that's going to happen in 11 days is exactly what God wants. And I will come out, smell like a rose. I am excited for the next phase of my life. I am proud of what God's brought me through. I am proud of my opportunity to represent Him. We all have our crazy mountains to climb. I hope that my climbing this little mountain that He gave me has been some sense of representation, some sense of source of encouragement, so that you can climb your mountains the same way and have the same testimony, the same peace, the same joy, the same excitement for the next phase of your life after you climb the mountain. Your enemies won't know what to do. They'll know they've been dealing with somebody different. And to God be the glory.